With me, our special guest is Henry Perez. He is running for the Republican nomination for Racine County Sheriff. The election is tomorrow. Early voting started. You going to make it?
Yeah.
Okay. He had a sneeze. Okay. Early voting started what? The other day, right?
A couple weeks ago, actually.
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
See, I'm not an early voting person. I like to vote on Election Day. I really,
right.
It's just something about it. I used to go with my mom and dad on Election Day, especially my mother, because she voted earlier than my dad. And back then they had the old voting booths with the big lever on it. She used to let me pull the lever and everything. And
it's a great experience.
If she voted for somebody she didn't like that much, she had me push down the lever. She, you know, she couldn't bring herself to do it. She would pull that down there like it was going to change anything.
Right.
But I love going on Election Day. They changed my voting place this year. It used to be the school. Was it Red Apple or something? They closed it and they moved me now.
Oh, where are you at now?
Some trailer on in the poor side of town. No, I got a postcard. I think it's a John Bryan Community Center. Something
oh, yeah.
Like that.
Yeah,
but yeah, they have a tent set up over here. You can vote there now. Just move the tent flap up. Okay, so you're running for Racine County Sheriff. And before we get to why and everything, let's talk a little bit about your past here, because you've had a lot of jobs. First of all, you were born in Cuba.
Yeah, I was.
You and Desi Arnaz.
Yes.
Were born in Cuba.
Uh-huh.
Xavier Cugat was born in Cuba.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I saw him in concert once. Yeah. It's a whole big story.
Okay.
Anyways, you're born in Cuba. And how was life there? You were a little kid, though, right?
Yeah, I was.
You don't remember?
I grew up in Miami.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I remember of Miami.
Okay. How was Miami?
Well, I went there in November, and what usually would take me 20 minutes to drive took me over 2 hours, and I just gave up. It's just become super crowded. And
like New York City.
Yeah, probably worse.
No, trust me, it wasn't worse.
I think the public transportation in New York City is a lot better than in Miami.
So what brought you to Wisconsin?
I took a job as the associate pastor at Racine Christian Reformed Church.
Okay.
About, in 2005. So a little 20 years ago.
Now, it must have been future shock because in Miami, they don't know what the word snow is. They never heard of it before.
Oh, they have.
Yeah, in northern Florida.
No, it snowed in Miami. In 1977, I think it was.
Oh, good.
I remember
Good, yeah. You can remember the date the snow fell.
No, I don't remember the date. I have it in one of my pictures, though.
But yeah, and it gets cold because I live down in Georgia and it gets cold in the winter.
Yeah.
But I lived in the mountains in Atlanta, but not like it's here.
No, actually, my mom would call me and say, Henry, the homeless people are dying on the street. It's 69 degrees. I'm like, Mom, 69 degrees. We're at the beach here.
69 degrees. We're 69 below zero wind chill, Mom. Okay, so you're here in Wisconsin. What did you do when you first came here? I was a pastor.
I was a pastor at the church. I did that for 2 years. And then I went over to Kenosha Christian Reformed Church, where for the next 18 years, I was the pastor there, the associate pastor.
What did you get into police work? Because... Well, first of all, you were in school that you still teach special ed.
I do. Yeah, middle school, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade in Spanish.
Oh, that's bad.
Dual language.
Middle school, bad age, 13, 14. That's horrible age.
That's a lot of fun.
But yeah, you know what? That's a bad age.
When they get that aha moment, makes it all worthwhile.
I know, but the 13 and 14-year-olds, they're just starting to feel their oats there, and they got to deal with you. That's good. Okay, so when did you work with, did you ever work with police before? You did that.
Yeah, of course. Okay. I was a police in Miami for 18 years.
Okay.
I started as a police explorer when I was 14.
Ah, I was an explorer.
Yeah.
Radio. I was explorer post on Long Island. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been a lot of fun. I got to do an amazing bunch of things as a kid. Got to be at a couple of Super Bowls, always at the Orange Bowl parades and events. We did security for the Dolphins in the end zone as a kid. So it was kind of fun. I got to ride with on the street with the crime unit, you know, saw a lot of dead bodies and
gross.
That kind of stuff.
Here's all you have to know about being a police officer. Just keep moving.
Yeah.
Just keep moving. That's all you got to know. Those words. Just keep moving.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. So you worked with the police.
I did.
And when you came to Wisconsin, you were a pastor. When did you get into the special ed teaching?
About 7 years ago. I was subbing, mm-hmm. and one of the teachers was like, Henry, why don't you become a regular teacher? I mean, you could do the job, obviously. And I looked into the program, and I went through an alternate training program and was certified. I now have a special ed certification from 12th grade to kindergarten, and I have a regular 1st through 8th grade elementary education certification. Both lifetime licenses.
13-year-olds. Oh, I couldn't deal with 13 and 14-year-olds.
It is fun.
No, it's not. I went to middle school. I know it's not fun. Okay, so you are a firearms instructor as well, right?
I am now, currently, yes.
I never held a gun in my life.
Well, we got to change that, though.
A water pistol I held.
Yeah.
You know why? I feel very nervous about him. Back when I worked at another radio station, we had a police officer, and I told him that. He said, you want to hold it? I said, no. First of all, I don't want my fingerprints on it, number one. And then I just don't want to. There's something about firearms scares me. My wife wants to get a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all about to buy one, and COVID hit.
Yeah.
And you couldn't go to the firearm. You couldn't go to the places.
Range, yeah.
You couldn't do any of that stuff. A police officer friend of hers said, I will go with you to help you pick out a gun.
Yeah.
And I said, great. And then COVID hit and we couldn't do it. And she kind of cooled on it. But if she wants to get one, I don't care. I just don't want it near me. That's all.
Yeah.
Accidents happen.
A lot of people who are not familiar with guns are scared of them. But once you realize it's a tool and how to use it, a lot of that fear goes away. It's very practical. It's very safe. And one of the things I want to do as sheriff is definitely train people in concealed carry, as my teams will do that for free, because I think it's that important. Because when you're in need of help and seconds are important to you, the cops aren't going to be there. You have to be able to defend yourself, but you also have to know the law and then know how to use a gun if you need to. And so that's one of my main goals as I move into the sheriff's office.
Well, I hope that if I'm ever in that kind of trouble, I could talk my way out of it. If you can't talk your way out of it, you run.
Yes, actually, that is the first thing we prescribe in safety is get away. The only battle you're really going to win is the one you're not in.
I never got into a fight in my life. I did once. I was in the 6th grade in grammar school, and a kid named Mickey Strange was taunting me all day long.
Yeah.
I even got a picture of him in my class photo on the phone. I can show you. He was a nice kid, but he just decided he's going to pick on me. Now I'm very tall, and he was not that tall. So I saw him. He had a big crowd of kids on the playground, and he was standing by the fence, by the basketball court, and I charged him. Mm-hmm. And I just ran into him and pushed him against the chain link fence. He fell down, lost his wind, started crying, and the fight was over.
Oh, that's good.
That's it. The only fight I've ever done in my life. Henry Perez is here. He is running for the Republican nomination for Racine County Sheriff. So why do you want to be sheriff? Sit and move closer. I want to hear every word you have to say clearly. What do you want this job? Sounds
Thank
like a
Don.
Busy job. Sounds like a lot of responsibility. Sounds like for every decision you make, half the people aren't going to like it.
Well, that happens now.
So why would you want to do this job?
Well, first of all, helping people has always been what I've done throughout life, right? Especially when I started as a police explorer, the people that helped me were the local police explorer and the pastor. And that brought me to a life of dedicated service to others. But I started my career as a bailiff. Then I went to Miami-Dade Police, which is the sheriff's office in Miami, and became a deputy sheriff there, police officer. I was there for 7 years as a investigator, school resource officer. I was on a very high intense squad at the beginning. From there, I went back to college and pastored an inner city church in Michigan where I, after I got my master's degree. And then I went back to Miami where I became a state attorney investigator. I was in charge of developing Miami's truancy intervention program. I also handled any juvenile calls, any that went to the state attorney, and also transported prisoners across the country, was a certified instructor in the college and in the academy. And I even certified people to fly on a plane with guns. That was very important for the cops because you get
guns on a plane, even if they go off by accident, that's dangerous.
It is, but
I saw the movie Goldfinger. I know when the gun went off in the plane went down with James Bond and Goldfinger in it.
Well, the only time really that it goes off is if you hit a hydraulic, then that something happens. But that's, hard to do.
So sheriff's job. It's an elected job. Unlike the head of the police department, which is appointed, this is an elected position.
Yeah, that's correct. It's a constitutional position. Yeah. So you have to be involved in one of the parties to be able to move forward. And the reason that it's an elected position is that the sheriff's office has particular duties under the Constitution. One of the biggest ones they have is running the local jail. So in our jail is very popular. Here in Racine.
And so a lot of people trying to get in for reservations.
Yeah, right. And we've had some issues there lately. We've had some concerns with some the inmates passing away. Some were natural. Others were not so natural. And I think that the biggest complaint I've heard as an alderman even, was that they're mistreating my family member at the jail. And I've experienced friends that have been arrested as well, and the stuff they've told me about not getting their medication on time, being handcuffed and transported improperly. I want to make sure those things don't happen. I understand that they're prisoners. You know, I get that part. But there's still some dignity left, and we need to respect that. And in the sheriff's role, I'm able to manage or at least prescribe the behaviors and the expectations of the officers that are there. One of the things that I want to do is I want to make sure that the jail becomes accredited. There's national and state accreditation. And so that will show our community of, in the last census, even Racine alone was 77,000 people. But we're talking a huge community here, that we are responsible because we are attaining to the highest standards. We don't have that certification right now. Neither does the sheriff's office. And if you've been watching the news or listening to the news, you'll notice there's been some significant issues there with officers misusing equipment and officers getting arrested just in the last year alone. So I think you need someone from the outside that's looking in, who has experience as a police administrator and has experience in other areas of life, so that you can prescribe, you don't become part of that toxicity that comes with being in a group, especially with police officers. You know, they're unique individuals. They face tragedies every day. They're under a lot of pressure from families. The expectations from the communities are high. The expectations from the department are very high. I was one of the ones that sponsored the therapist for the City of Racine Police Department because that's so important. I understand that. I want all my employees to be trained at a minimum in crisis intervention training, stuff that's being put on by NAMI. And
what's NAMI?
National Alliance for Mental Illness.
Yeah.
And so we have a very good one actually here in Racine County. And I want to be able, I'm a CIT partner. I'm trained in that area. And I was a CIT supervisor in Miami as a police officer as well, as a police sergeant. And I think it's so important. You know, our community has a high amount of mental health clients, issues. And so it's important for the officer to realize and recognize that that's who they're dealing with. Because if an officer, you don't follow directions, an officer's telling you, put your hands down, put your, you know, whatever. And
I watch the YouTube videos all the time.
Yeah.
All you do is have to follow directions. You get a warning, you're on your way. You start arguing, you get handcuffs on, now you're in court with charges of resisting.
Right.
Just do what they say. It's not a big deal.
Well, but I think that's absolutely true. But I think it's hard many times for the officer to deal with the persons that are acting inappropriately. But they may not know that they could have mental health concerns, and these things help them recognize it so that their approach is a little different.
Oh, these cops sometimes have the patience of a saint. I couldn't do that stuff. I'd be carrying the taser. Can I have your license? Why? I just couldn't. They have patience. They ask over and over and over again. Even the sheriff's deputies ask over and over and over. And people don't listen. Just give them your license. It's not a big deal. You'll probably get a warning and you'll be on your way.
One of the things that I am forecasting and part of my agenda, my platform, is accountability. And if you're online, you'll see that. And accountability goes both ways. You know, I expect the community to respond properly to the police, and I expect the police to respond properly to the community. But a lot of people lie about the police because of the pressures that they're under, and they know that it's very sensitive on the police side. So as an internal affairs investigator and supervisor myself, I would read the reports of things that happen, and I would definitely want to look at all the angles. I'll give you an example. Sometimes you watch something happen on television and you're only looking at it from one angle, and you say, oh no, that. But then when you look at it from the other side, if there's another picture, you notice that, for example, a person had a knife or something, which you can't tell from one angle. So I believe it's very important to get the full picture if we can before anything happens. And people say, oh, you're trying to protect the police. Yeah, I need to protect the police if they're doing their job properly. If they're not doing their job properly, they'll either be retrained or fired, depending on what they do. And that has to be a constant. But again, the responsibility also comes for the community. They have to respond well. It has to go both ways.
You know, I got a tour by the current sheriff years ago. Gave me a tour of the jail down on right on Main Street there. The law enforcement,
Wisconsin, yeah.
Yeah, the law enforcement center. My wife works there all the time. And he was walking through, and some of the inmates in the big area where they're all together, they put up a blanket over the cell door. And he says, I told you to get that blanket down. And he took it down. I was shaking, and I didn't do anything wrong. I was just taking a tour. That's a tough place to work.
Well, it's very tough to be a correctional officer.
Because you're dealing with people who want to get the upper hand over you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they could be doing stuff illegally behind the cover. There's always issues. You know, we do daily inspections of their cell and everything, but they still get away with stuff. You know. So.
In the remaining 2 minutes, here's your chance for a free pitch. We normally charge people to do this, but I'm going to give you a free 2 minutes here to put your pitch why you want to be Racine County Sheriff. And keep in mind, this is for the Republican nomination, which is today, or tomorrow. Right. But early voting today. Give your pitch, Henry.
Okay, well, first of all, I was born in Cuba, came to America as a small child after my mom fled communism in search of freedom and a better future for our family. We settled in Miami's Little Havana, where I grew up, knowing what it meant to struggle. My family experienced times of housing insecurity and food insecurity, but we also experienced the kindness of people who believed in us. Two people changed the direction of my life, a school resource officer and a pastor. They invested in me, challenged me, taught me that one person can make a lasting difference. At 14 years old, I joined the Police Explorers, and from that moment, I knew my life's calling would be serving others. Over the next 4 decades, I built a career dedicated to public safety, leadership, and community service. I've served as a police officer, school resource officer, state attorney investigator, police sergeant in the Miami area. During my law enforcement career, I supervised officers, investigated crimes, developed community policing initiatives, coordinated youth crime prevention programs, and trained law enforcement professionals throughout Florida and Michigan. As a certified instructor, I taught ethics, crisis intervention, community policing, leadership, human diversity, helping prepare the next generation of officers. Working as a school resource officer taught me one of the most important lessons of policing. Sometimes the greatest success isn't measured by arrests, but by lives changed. I saw firsthand how building relationships with young people could prevent crime, strengthen families, and create safer communities. When my family moved to Wisconsin, my commitment to service continued. I've served as a pastor, teacher, school safety professional, executive director of a homeless shelter, and a security consultant. I was honored to become the first Hispanic elected to the Racine City Council, where I work to improve public safety, strengthen neighborhoods, and ensure responsible stewardship of taxpayer dollars. Throughout my career, I've earned bachelor's and master's degrees, completed thousands of hours of advanced law enforcement training, and received numerous commendations and awards for service. But the accomplishments that matter most to me cannot be framed on a wall. They are the people whose lives have been changed through mentoring, leadership, compassion, and accountability. As a sheriff, I will bring proven leadership, extensive law enforcement experience, and an unwavering commitment to serving other residents of Racine County, every resident. I believe public safety begins with trust. Law enforcement must be professional, transparent, accountable, and deeply connected to the community it serves. My promise is simple. I will lead with integrity, treat every person with dignity and respect, support the men and women who wear the badge, and work every day to keep Racine County safe. Serving others has been my life's work. It'd be the honor of my career to serve as your next sheriff.
Good luck to you, Henry. Henry Perez, who's looking for your vote. He is running for the Republican nomination for Racine County Sheriff. The general election is when, by the way?
Tomorrow. Oh, November.
November, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always in November. First Tuesday in November. What's the matter with me? I've been living in this country a long time. I should have remembered that. The primary is tomorrow, but early voting is going on now.
Well, not anymore. It stops. It starts in-person voting on Tuesday.
All right. This is it, folks. You want to vote, it's got to be tomorrow. Yeah. Know your polling place. Like me, they changed my voting place.
You can actually look that up online. It's wisconsin.gov, I think. And it'll tell you where your polling place is.
I think mine's in the back of a Burger King. I think that's where my new polling place is. Thank you, Henry, for coming in. Good luck to you, my friend. Henry Perez, everybody.